I'm your host, Annie Bowles, and this is News du Jour. Welcome to News du Jour. You may be wondering, why am I, Annie Bowles, here hosting this podcast? I usually start by telling people I'm a political baby. You see, my parents met working on Capitol Hill. By the time I was two, I had been in my first political commercial and even got lost crawling around the West Wing. Don't worry, Al Gore found me. My family then moved abroad when I was nine, and I attended an international school in Brussels with kids from all over the world, and it is this type of global perspective that I also bring to our show. I graduated from American University in DC after studying political science and art history, as well as interning on both sides of Capitol Hill. I even interned down the hall from where my parents met. I'm now pursuing a professional certificate in journalism at NYU in conjunction with Rolling Stone magazine. I guess I was always that friend in the group who cared deeply about not just what was going on politically, but also globally. I often kept my own friends informed through high school and into young adulthood, so I guess I've always done a version of this show. I'm genuinely passionate about following the news, and I'm here to break it down for you guys every weekday. We always strive to be a calmer space to get your news, or as one listener put it, like getting your news from a well-informed bestie. I'm so glad you're here. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the News du Jour. You may notice a little something extra from us in your feeds today. We just dropped the bonus episode, which is my interview with Nikki Adamondo and Michelle Horton. This is the very first interview that Nikki Adamondo has given to anyone since leaving prison. And they actually reached out to me to do this interview, and I was beyond humbled. I just feel so honored that they felt that our show was a safe place for them to come and talk about something that can only be described as a living nightmare. If you guys aren't familiar with the case, Nikki was abused by her intimate partner, the father of her children, for years. And this is really well-documented abuse. She went to the authorities. She had pictures of injuries. She talked to her friends. She talked to medical professionals. She did everything she could to protect herself against this man who then attacked her. And she was forced to defend herself and was facing a life sentence for doing so. This happens all the time. Of course, we covered April Wilkins' episode previously where April tells her whole story in her own words. That's not actually what we're going to be doing with Nikki and Michelle. Instead, we're going to be talking about how a piece of legislation was what freed Nikki from this life sentence. And we're going to tie that directly to the legislation that we are working to pass here in Oklahoma, Senate Bill 1470, because actually Senate Bill 1470 was based entirely off of the bill that freed Nikki. Her case was the inspiration for what we're doing today. So the fact that she reached out to us felt like absolute kismet. It felt so full circle, and I'm so excited for you guys to get introduced to them. They live in New York. This was a law that was originally passed in New York, and it was only passed in 2018, I believe. So that just goes to show how new this subject of criminalized survivorship really is and how it mostly affects women. And even in states like New York, just passed this bill only recently. I would venture to guess most states don't have something like this piece of legislation. So if you're interested in getting involved, we have, of course, a petition in our show notes, and we will be sure to give more calls to action as we go along. But I hope you guys will take a listen and really dive into this episode with us. So without further ado, we will get into the news for today. I do have a lot to go over with you guys. So first and foremost, we have a series of mini stories. Let's jump in. This first one is so random, but I saw that former President Barack Obama made a surprise visit to the British version of the White House, 10 Downing Street. It appears that he was visiting the Prime Minister, but no one seems to know why. Super interesting to me. The international relations nerd in me would love to be a fly on the wall for that convo. And then I have three mini stories to do with Israel and Gaza. Let's jump in. First and foremost, Israeli negotiators are headed to Qatar to start yet another round of talks for a ceasefire and a hostage release. This comes after Hamas dropped one of its demands last week, so maybe there's room for some traction. I'm not sure, but we'll definitely keep you posted. Going hand in hand with that, though, is our second mini story to do with Israel. A key Hamas military leader is said to have been killed by Israel in Gaza in a recent airstrike. This information was shared with the New York Times under anonymity because the Israeli military leader who revealed this was not actually authorized to do so. So it's still kind of, you know, under the radar a little bit, but I wanted to let you guys know that it's being reported. Maybe this inches Israel a little closer to their ultimate goal, which is, of course, to take out Hamas. And then in our final Israel update, Netanyahu is said to be sending an Israeli military team to Washington, D.C. to strategize about Rafah. You see, Netanyahu still wants to invade, as this is where they believe some of the remaining Hamas operatives are hiding. But that's where like half of Gaza is also taking shelter. So with them invading full force, it's just not possible. From like a practical standpoint, it would be incredibly difficult to differentiate between Hamas and civilians in such a densely populated area. And Biden has straight up said that this is a mistake. He doesn't agree with Netanyahu invading without a solid plan for protecting civilians. So it appears that Netanyahu, who's popularity wanes by the day, it seems, is sending representatives to DC to build a plan. If we find out anything about what they come up with, we'll definitely let you guys know. And for our first longer story, I wanted to issue a content warning with this one. Unfortunately, this story involves disturbing details. So I wanted to talk about the fact that millions of Afghanistan's children are malnourished after years of lingering drought. So we have been talking about drought in Afghanistan on this podcast for literally years because it's been going on in Afghanistan for literally years. So after so many years, millions of children there right now are malnourished and dying of hunger. And this comes also with about zero relief on the horizon. You see, with the climate, we tend to hit these like tipping points where land becomes unworkable. Think Oklahoma in the Dust Bowl, only things are getting worse. And that's where a lot of Afghanistan has found themselves. Areas that used to be literally filled with lakes and water, you know, images of boats are in the desert. It's bone dry. And while people there are praying for rain, many are leaving for greener pastures, and those who are poorest, without means to leave, are left to battle the elements alone. People are so in debt in these places, you guys, that debtors are threatening to take people's children, daughters as young as four, for marriage or for worse. There's literally an area nicknamed the One Kidney Village because so many parents have sold their kidneys on the black market to try and pay back debts to save their children. But many families have also lost their children, not just to debtors, but also to famine and drought. People are dying of thirst and of starvation, which was always a prediction when it comes to climate change. But that will never diminish the tragedy of what we are seeing play out before our very eyes. It seems like Doctors Without Borders, you guys, is doing incredible work there and is a lot of these people's only hope. They provide not only food, but also water and medical care for people and children who are starving to death. If you're interested in donating, we'll go ahead and add a link in our show notes to their donation page. But I would also encourage you to not just donate to put a Band-Aid on a bullet hole. Let's stop the hemorrhaging by healing our earth and supporting groups and causes that help our planet heal and thus help human beings thrive. And with that, I wanted to touch on Peter Navarro. So if you guys remember, there were like a number of Trump allies who basically defied Democrats and did not show up for various hearings about Trump. Well, one of those characters was a man by the name of Peter Navarro. He fought charges in court and he lost. He made a last-ditch effort this past week to avoid jail time, but that too failed, and thus he has reported for his four-month prison sentence at age 74 for contempt of Congress. And to wrap up today's episode, I have two Biden-related updates. Let's jump in. So Biden just issued an executive order to study women's health specifically. He has pledged $200 million to researching conditions like menopause and endometriosis, as well as conditions that tend to affect women more than men, such as arthritis, osteoporosis, things that are linked to menopause and tend to happen to women just following menopause. And this is just amazing, but I have to give a shout out in this also to Jill Biden. She certainly had her hand in this because women's health has been her entire focus as a first lady. Onward and upward. Biden also just got a pledge of $120 million from League of Conservation Voters. And this is a group that obviously protects the environment. This put his outside party fundraising, you guys, at a grand total of over $1 billion. Damn, I would be shocked if that wasn't some kind of a record. A lot of environmental groups have backed Biden because they say that he has actually not done enough to spread the word about his track record when it comes to the environment. They want to see him toot his own horn in this category because they have said he's been too quiet about all that he's accomplished when it comes to helping to save our planet. What's more, a lot of Trump's actions actually set us back in terms of our battle against climate change. Trump championed coal throughout his entire presidency, which is one of the most destructive substances in use right now, and he pulled us out of the Paris Accord, a global effort to halt climate change as a collective. So that's a huge reason why Biden right now is flush with cash. Meanwhile, much of Trump's wealth is tied up in his ongoing court cases. And that for today is the news du jour. Today, I wanted to leave you guys with the quote, "Karma has no menu. You get served what you deserve." If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on whatever podcast platform you use to listen. A rate and review on that platform or a shout out on social media would mean the world to us and help us to be able to keep creating the news du jour and reach more people who need a calmer space to consume the news. But the best way to support all of our work is to become a patron at www.patreon.com/sugarfreemedia, and that is also linked in our show notes. You can follow us on social media at newsdujour.podcast on both Instagram and TikTok. You can follow my personal account at It's Annie Bowles on both platforms as well. Any little noises you may hear in the background are my rescue pup. He has a little separation anxiety and always records with me. We appreciate you listening and look forward to telling you about the news again next time on News du Jour.
Broadcasting from